I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid. And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who have been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, and sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor that we are not acquainted with.
Oh, and as we hate missing out, we thought that we'd invite some of our celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us whilst we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
Oh, and it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet every flipping night.
Heaven forbid.
So you can see that I've got no four.
Yeah, do film the. I'm sorry, listener. That's again, and we go through this in the podcast unless our editor, producer rather, cuts it out, which he might do because we go on about it all the time. But before we start recording, we have a countdown on this particular recording platform, and it goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It flashes on the screen, but the 4 doesn't flash on Lou's screen for some reason.
I'm going to record it next time so you can see.
She's also a little bit pissed, so
I can't feel my legs.
We've just done a great recording, which involved Jägermeister.
Yeah, that was difficult for you to say there,
I
Sally.
I don't know how you say it. If it's Jägermeister, Jägermaster, Jäger. I don't even know how you spell it.
Jägermaster.
That's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah, Germany. Jägermeister.
Is it a German drink?
Yeah, says it. Der Krauterlikör. Der Krauterlikör.
Have you ever been to Germany, Louise?
No, I haven't.
I have.
And I've never been to me. No. Where have you been in Germany?
I've been to Bonn. And I've been to Berlin. Ooh. And I've been to Hamburg. I've just remembered this. I won a comedy competition a long time ago,
Lou? Yeah.
And I won, it was a new act thing, and I won £1,000.
What?
Yeah, I won a year's supply of Pilsner Lager.
No.
And when I say a year's supply, they didn't know they were dealing with. Yeah, it wasn't enough. I got through it. Also, a trip to Hamburg and a trip to probably the Pilsner factory, I'm assuming. But that was I went to Hamburg, but the Pilsner factory, they cancelled it, which I didn't really mind, actually, because I just got a weekend in Hamburg, which was quite nice.
On your own?
No, I went with a man that I was seeing at the time.
Yeah.
It was a trip for two.
Ooh.
And also, the competition was FHM and Holsten Pils, combined, right?
Great.
Now, I was only girl in the final, Lou, and bearing in mind it was FHM, which was a kind of 90s, noughties magazine for men, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it would have women. I don't know if it had topless women, but it had women and stuff in it. But bearing in mind, I'm the only woman in the competition. I win it. FHM aren't interested in putting my picture in their magazine. No, not interested.
Had you been a man, they probably would have.
No, I think no, because it was all pictures of women in there.
Oh.
But I obviously wasn't sexy enough to be in FHM, even though that I was the only woman. But I went to her, and you can tell I've got
over. What does FHM stand for?
For
Fat Hairy Minge.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Well, that's why you weren't in it, because you don't.
For him magazine, isn't it? Oh, it wouldn't be allowed now, would it, Lou? But Hamburg, I was there, and there were some men who were cutting the trees in the centre. You know, they're up ladders and ropes and stuff, trimming the trees. But you know what I noticed? The difference between there and the UK? They were all in uniform. They all looked ever so smart. It was ever so clean and smart.
Oh, Sally. There we go.
To get to that.
Do you know what? I've enjoyed watching you, dear listener. I've been watching Sally throughout this, and I think the Jägermeister has affected you more than you think it has, because your arms, you know those blow-up plastic things you get outside of
furniture shops and car showrooms.
Like that. That's what you were looking. Your hands were and your arms were everywhere, and you've got really long arms. I was just watching it going, Sally's not normally this expressive.
And I'll tell you what else. If you've noticed me look to the left a lot,
yeah.
I've had my windows cleaned this morning. Keep looking out. There's things I've never been able to see before out of my windows. I've lived here since 2007. I've never had my windows cleaned.
Really? So maybe you've imagined all of those people parking really badly outside your house.
An empty street.
It's probably a birdshit, not a van. Maybe that's it. Oh, Sally, I'm going to bring you back in the room now. We talked to the lovely Jo Wells.
Come in, I'm coming back.
Talked to the lovely Jo Wells, who introduced us to a drink that's had obviously a very big effect on both of us. So why don't we just have a listen?
We could. Do you know what? We're so sort of. We could talk for ages, couldn't we?
No, think but we're not going to, Sally.
Sally, we can't,
people are turning off now. I'm stopping it.
Lou just said, I never have a number four on the countdown, but she has lots of number twos.
Oh, we are. Oh, Sally. Would you like to introduce our guest, Sally?
I have great pleasure of introducing the one and only Jo Wells. Hello, Jo.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming to the bar.
You might not say that at the end of this. You might be like, oh, God, why have I done that? So, you know, anyway, it's a pleasure so far. Well done.
So far, yeah.
We'll do a review at the end, a little evaluation.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we have an evaluation on whether we like your drink at the end, and you can have an evaluation on whether or not you enjoyed doing the podcast. That's quite good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, then it's two ways, isn't it, Lou? I think it's fair.
Yeah, whether we're palatable.
Yes.
Well, my drink is an acquired taste, so I don't know whether that would be the same for the podcast.
Do you want to tell the listener what your drink of choice is, please?
So my drink of choice is Jaeger and Professor Pepe. You got some proper Professor Pepe?
I did.
That's the thing that's important. I was worried that you would get Dr. Pepper, which is disgusting, and I will not drink Dr. Pepper. No, got no time. Well, if Lou's holding up for Dr. Pepper, you haven't got the drink then, have you? You've got a poor imitation of the real thing.
Joe, now can I, in my defence... I always get it wrong.
She's got it wrong.
I always get it wrong. And B, I could not for love nor money find this elusive drink in the Aldi where I live.
It was so easy to find.
Not in mine. And then so
it's sometimes mixed with the Cola Zero and things like that.
With
an X.
It was in the soft drinks.
Well, then I had to then go to Sainsbury's to get a miniature Dr. Pepper because I didn't want to buy a whole packet of them, and Sainsbury's was the only place where I could buy an individual tiny little Dr. Pepper.
Interesting. How cute. I've never seen a miniature Dr. Pepper.
But the drink is Professor Pepe. So.
Oh, well, Sally's got it right again.
Is it because it's zero sugar that you like it, or is it...
No, it just tastes so much better than... Because Dr. Pepper Zero exists and is horrible. Dr. Pepper I do like... But the Professor Pepe is something very special.
Aww.
Isn't it got a really fun... I can't remember. It's got a tagline that's something like, you know, Dr. Pepper's like, what's the worst that could happen? I think Professor Pepe's like, it won't be that bad or something like
or
that.
It already has happened.
I haven't got the box with me, actually, but I will have a look as we record our nip out and look at the box. It came in a 6-pack and I'll have a look. It might be on the box. It's not on the can. Lou's got the Jägermeister
there. Yeah, how much Jäger am I putting in? How many fingers of Jäger do I put in my glass?
I would have quite a lot. Oh. I would have like maybe 2 shots of Jäger.
Right, well, I'm doing that straight away. Hang on.
I do also just like Jäger neat. That's one of the few. I will just drink a glass of Jäger.
I'd forgotten this.
I like things that taste medicine-y. That's my favourite taste, medicine.
This is taking me straight back.
Dr. Pepper's a kind of, you know, a bathroom flavour, isn't it? Toothpastey. It must be your sort of flavours then, Joe. There's definitely a
My
theme.
Ideal drink really would be like a pint of Cowpole. That's what I'd want.
Jägermeister. How do you even pronounce it? Is it Jägermeister? Yeah, people used to do it as shots, didn't they? Is it that they used to drop into pints of lager? Back in the sort of ages.
Red Bull, I thought it was. I'm going to just taste the Jägermeister solely on its own. I'm going bareback with this. Oh, that went right up my nose. Do you know what? It's not as disgusting as I thought it was.
What a review.
Yeah. I'm now adding the Dr. Pepper.
Full disclosure here, I had to get a shot of Jäger off my neighbour. So I've already mixed the Dr. Professor Peppy, I can't try it neat now. So I apologise for that because it's all mixed, but I'm going to try it.
Can you just run through the conversation you had with your neighbour of how you explained you needed a shot of Jäger at 3 in the afternoon on a Monday?
Hi, Miranda. I don't... Well, it went something like, I do a podcast and all this, but it would have been a lot better if I'd have just gone, could I have a shot of Jäger, please? That would have, I wish I had now. Knock, knock, ding dong, can I have a shot of Jäger? Yes, of course, Sally, no problem. I completely understand. It's Blue Monday, on your way.
I think it's...
I do a podcast sounds more like you're an alcoholic, doesn't it? It's like you're trying to make an excuse.
Yeah, when I go over the road, because there's a Morrison's over the road, sometimes when I'm in there, like I think, oh God, we've got an early recording and I'm over at breakfast going over getting a Liefrau Milch or a equally disgusting drink. Oh yeah.
Bottle of Jäger.
Yeah. And you always get that look by the same cashiers. Oh, here she is with the podcast. Okay. Right. She's on the breakfast wine again.
It's one hell of an excuse, isn't it? You know, it's like when people go, oh, I don't know, when you, it's not me that's on that wants the fitness video. It's a friend of mine.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm sampling
this. She's in. I'm sampling as well. Here we go. We can't we can't disclose our actual end thought of what we like, whether we like it or not yet, Joe, but we can talk you through the flavours. Well, Lou's put a finger up. She's got things to say.
I've forgotten what Dr. Pepper tasted like, and I should have sampled that on its own as well. But this
can I just butt in slightly? Yeah. I love the way you're holding it like it's a fine whiskey or something. She's holding it like Mike Baldwin used to after his day in the factory on Coronation Street.
Need a cigar, don't I? I have to say this has taken me to Christmas.
Oh.
And I don't know why. Maybe it's the Dr. Pepper because the Dr. Pepper is quite cherry-ish, is it? Or is that just me?
Yeah.
I think Acaster has material about this, isn't it? Dr. Pepper tastes like nothing else. It just tastes like Dr. Pepper. There's no...
You're right, because you try and find a flavour, don't you? And a lot of people say toothpaste, don't they, with Dr. Pepper? Do they not? Is that me?
Mm. I've never... Toothpaste is minty, isn't it? It's not minty.
No, you're right.
Is it like a toothpaste if you took the mint out?
It's that pink toothpaste.
Aniseed.
That's it. Yes, aniseed.
Euthymol.
Ooh.
That's the toothpaste. That's what my dad used to use. There you go.
Oh, I knew. I remember that.
And the dark pink one.
Yeah, the one where it's
still the same packaging as the 50s, I think.
Oh, it's probably still the same paste because very few people buy it.
My dad used to love it. Anyway.
What was your training drink when you were growing up?
Well, I didn't drink when I was... a few times I drank when I was a teenager. I didn't like it. Didn't like being drunk. So I didn't really have one until I got into my late 20s, and then got on the Jaeger.
Straight away.
I'm quite new to drinking.
Straight on as well.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of... I can drink a nice red wine, and I can drink like a wanky craft beer. But I'm still sort of discovering drinking a bit because I didn't drink much when I was younger. I still have a lot of anxiety around drinking. So
in what
I don't,
way? In what way?
I have material about this. So I'm doing that horrible thing where you try not to just do your material.
It's okay.
But as an autistic person, when I'm drunk, I just become more autistic. So if I have a few drinks, I'm like, right, let's talk about my special interests and not make eye contact for an hour. And I was very self-conscious about that as a teenager. And I thought if I drunk, then people will know that I'm sort of different and weird. So I didn't. And now I'm sort of, as part of my journey of self-discovery, I'm getting hammered as much as possible.
Are you?
For research. It's for research, Joe.
Research, yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's empowerment. It's personal empowerment of the neurodivergent people. That's what it is.
And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I only really drink around people who I feel safe around. I would still be very, I get quite anxious if I'm out and I'm drunk. Yeah, it's good fun, isn't it?
I think we've spoken about this on the podcast before, like how depending on what people you are with, you can be drinking the same thing and the same amount, but have a completely different experience depending on the group of people that you're with. So if it's a group of trusted mates that you love spending time with, then you probably won't have, you probably get drunk and have a great time. But if it's people that you feel a bit anxious about being with, then you'll probably, I don't know.
Do you get that too then when you're stressed about seeing other people and then you get drunk and then in your head like the alcohol makes you go, oh God, they're all thinking I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I get that.
And then you become paranoid and then you can't sleep.
Yeah. Then I have to go to the toilet and then go, I have a little word with myself and say, right, I'm gonna remember everything that's happened so far. And then I know if that's the conversation I'm having with myself in the toilet that I'm gonna remember everything that's happened so far. That's the point where I won't remember anything from that point on. But when I'm having a word with myself in the toilet because I've been so anxious about the people, or I'll pass out in the toilet.
But if you're nervous with a group of people for whatever reason, you kind of invariably do, not you personally, Lou, although this definitely applies to you, you do say the wrong thing, don't you? You do kind of just talk, I don't know, you just become nervous and then you gabble or you try and be funny or you try and be over-matey.
Yeah.
You can't just be normal.
No.
Because that's the thing I've never understood. People say they drink to like relax around new people. I've never understood that. I'm more relaxed if I'm not drunk and then I can control everything and make sure everything goes to plan. Mm. I do sometimes drink if there's people who I love but are annoying. I'm not saying who they are, but maybe family members. I've learned less annoying if I have some drinks.
Oh.
The things they do that irritate me, I actually find very charming if I'm a bit drunk.
I had a really weird experience once when I went to a wedding on my own of these people that I'd done A-levels with, so a million years ago, and I didn't know anybody at the wedding. Well, I knew a few people at the wedding, and I was so anxious about the guests that were there and seeing people that I hadn't seen for years and spending a weekend essentially with people I didn't know that as soon as I arrived, I tucked into the free beer that was in the marquee before the wedding. I was drinking during the service, and then I don't remember.
Okay, you have to do that, was it?
Oh, I was.
This is the price coming down the aisle, and you're swinging a drink.
It was in a marquee, and I was just shit faced. And then I don't remember anything until I fell off a wall. And then I was picked up, and the bride came over to me and said, "Oh, thirsty as ever." And then I thought,
what's she saying there though, Lou?
Well, we all know what she's saying.
I know, but is she saying it, was she sort of saying it in a kind of, thirsty as ever, there's my Lou, or thirsty as ever? She's gone too far. What was the tone?
Then I tried to get off with her younger brother and
Did you succeed?
Yeah. No, because her mum came over and went, he's too young, and then took him away.
How young was he?
I don't know. Probably 20-ish or something.
Oh, okay.
And there's some old lechy woman going, having just fallen off a wall. Thirsty as ever. Oh, God.
Oh. So actually, I think what we're saying here is we're not wrong. It's just that some people are really hard to be around, aren't they?
Yes.
Some people say, you know, so that's why you get all anxious and worried and say, well, then fall, get so drunk that you fall off a wall, or so drunk that you just, you say the wrong thing to somebody in the industry, that, you know, you're at some networking party and you end up having too many drinks, then you sort of pinch some big high valuting TV producer's bum or something because you think it's funny.
Did you, Sally?
I haven't even, do you know what? I haven't done that. That's the sort of thing that I would do, which is why I don't go to those events anymore. Okay?
Oh, being drunk at those events terrifies me. A few times, I have not been drunk at them. I've taken my wife to the Edinburgh Fringe ones and she has been drunk. And she, I remember one time she really sounded off, which I agree with her on, about a big name comedian who was doing a run at the Fringe when they didn't need to do a run at the Fringe because they were very famous. And she was saying, well, they're taking audience away from up and coming comedians. It's not good. It's not good. Anyway, this person she's ranting to, she goes, and what do you do? And the guy goes, I manage big name comedian.
Oh, no.
She slagged this person off to their manager.
Oh, my lovely wife. I mean, yeah. It's a sort of, you know, it's a mistake, but at the same time, she doesn't know, does she? She's just got a.
She also,
I think,
have you ever done the thing where I think alcohol, you know, when we work in the arts, where you will see someone who is famous, but you're not allowed to go, oh my God, you're a famous person off TV, because that's not the etiquette. You have to be like, oh, you're a colleague. But alcohol removes that inhibition, particularly from and there's been a few times where she's like seen someone at the end of a Fringe and be like, hey, you're from that TV show I watch.
Yeah,
I want to meet your wife. In fact, I have met her, but I just think that
I
like people like her though, because she's she's not interested in the etiquette, is she? She's like, oh, I really like what you do, I'm gonna come and talk to you. And that's kind of, there's something quite nice about that.
It's probably quite refreshing having somebody, a muggle like that, talking to these industry people. Like, these people are not used to people coming in and saying what they really mean, because most, 9 times out of 10, people in our industry have got our heads so far up their ass. So to have somebody that actually says it as they see it is quite refreshing, isn't it, really?
She says, wonderful.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, so Joe, tell us, you must have now, I mean, how old are you now, Joe?
I'm 34 years old.
So you've only really been drinking for about sort of 6 to 8 years then?
I guess I sort of dipped my toe into it in my 20s, yeah. And then it's sort of only recently that it hasn't bothered me drinking at all.
I'm such a lightweight,
though, as well. If I have a glass of wine, I'm quite drunk.
Great.
But yeah,
I don't have any antics.
Things that never antics is just me being all the irritating parts of my personality. New Year's Eve during lockdown, I'm a big fan of the Peep Show. I think Peep Show is fantastic. I think one of the best episodes is the New Year's Eve episode. So New Year's Eve during lockdown, I hammered, contacted all our friends, and insisted that we did a read through of the Peep Show New Year's Eve episode,
which they also reluctantly
agreed to, and we reenacted the Peep Show on Zoom. So stuff like that, it's just weird, like me wanting to, I'm like the kid that would want to do a play for the grown-ups, and that really comes out when I'm drunk.
Oh,
I think that sounds ace.
Yeah, I think that's really nice. I'd like to get drunk with you and see what we're going to do a read through of.
Yeah. The worst bit is I can't read when I'm drunk. One of the other things I remember doing is trying to read a book. You know when you read a book and, like, you'll accidentally go to the beginning of the sentence the line you've just read, and then your brain goes, oh, silly me, and then you go to the next one. But I remember being really drunk and lying in bed and trying to read a book and doing that, like, 5 times before I realised, this is really repetitive. What? I don't get this book. And then my wife remembers me throwing on the floor and shouting, "I can't read." I was very distressed. I thought I'd become illiterate for life.
That's brilliant. So your wife, though, she's been drinking for longer than you, I take it. Or have you both kind of found the alcohol at similar time?
I mean, you know, she's not an alcoholic, but she's someone who I would say drinks a normal amount for someone.
Well, you haven't met me, Sally. You don't know what normal amount is.
Yeah, it varies, doesn't it? But so you've been drunk with her and you've seen her drunk, obviously, Edinburgh and places. Has she got up to no good when she's been drunk?
Yes. I have to remember I spoke to her, which of the stories I'm allowed to tell and which the ones I'm not. Was this one of them? This one happened recently. And I might message you afterwards to edit this out because I can't remember whether I have consent for this story to be shared. But she, it starts sad, this story. But it gets funny in the end. So earlier last year, she was assaulted in a bar early in the morning, which was some wrong place, wrong time. Someone who was obviously mentally unwell, fairly badly assaulted her in a pub when she went for breakfast. But she's doing very well. Fine now. She went with her. She's been, obviously it was very upsetting for her. She was with her friends on Saturday night. Out drinking, not far from the pub where it happened. She hasn't been back to that pub. She's been very anxious about it. And her friends went, "Look, you've got to face your fears, go back to this pub." She goes to the pub. They say, "Well, you can't come in, it's full." She starts crying and explains what happened, and the bouncer lets her in. Anyway, so she goes in and she's like facing her fears, and her friends taking photos of her in this pub. It's all very sweet. Yesterday, she revealed to me that she went, "Yeah, and to get that bar back, I stole something from them." I was like, "Yeah, you go stealing." And she brings out what she stole. And I said to her, "You realize that's like a charity, like badge, that you, like a brooch to raise money for charity. And you've stolen that." And she has now donated some money to the charity that she stole from. But that's what happened.
I'll show everybody.
But me and Sally were in Shoreham working hard. My wife was stealing from a charity.
Listen, Joe and I worked together in Shoreham by sea on Saturday night, and that's when your wife was. God, we were doing a good job, Joe, earning a wage. Meanwhile,
some of that's gone to paying off my wife's thieving that we felt we had to guiltily give money to this charity now.
I thought you were going to say she stole the chuggy can of the money, but it was just a badge.
No, it's just a badge. Yeah, it wasn't
okay. I've stolen.
You've stolen things.
Well, I think she thought it was like merch, which I suppose it was, but it was, you know, you get those little on the bar, they'll be like, donate £2 and you can have this little pin brooch
thing. She's so cute. She's so cute. Yes, I got the badge. Yes. Me and Sally would have gone, "Yes, I got all the money."
I know.
So you're saying you would have stolen the money.
I've stolen
a bottle of Captain Navy rum from a pub before. I'll tell you how. It was quite easy. We were very drunk and we went upstairs to the bar that was closed and we were like, "Oh, just sit here." And then I just remember, it was dark. We didn't go and sit upstairs. It was dark upstairs and I went to use the loo and then I went behind the bar and went, "Oh, the optics are here." And I took the bottle of Captain Navy rum off of the optic even. Why they left it unlocked, I'll never know. That's their own fault. And then I wandered off with my friends and off we went. Yeah. With a bottle of rum, I wasn't even a rum drinker. I mean, it would have been better suited to me if I'd have taken vodka.
Oh, Sally.
At that age. I was only early 20s. It was a long time ago, Lou.
Rum has a sort of romanticism to it, doesn't it? Because it's like a pirate drink.
Yeah.
So you feel better about stealing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stealing vodka is a bit sad.
Yeah.
Homeless almost.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What have you stolen, Lou? You've stolen loads.
God, I've stolen. Okay, you ready?
Glasses. I know you've had lots of glasses from places.
Lots of glasses from pubs.
She just slides them off the table, Jo, and into an open bag.
Yeah. I've had a whole metal wine cooler that I got in my handbag. Reserved signs for tables because they're quite handy
when you go to a pub and you just put one on the table and people look at you like, what? No, I've reserved this table. And then lipsticks, makeup, which is potentially bad because you could end up with herpes.
What from other, who from?
From people that are putting their makeup on. I'll just swipe it.
Oh, this is proper stealing. This isn't like this.
Yeah,
is
that's sort of. I think. But when I think you're
only when I'm drunk, though.
Oh, okay.
Only when I'm drunk. I have never stolen anything in real life, apart from. Oh yeah,
Your Honor. Listen to you in court. Then you're not going to get away with it because you're drunk. She's leaning in, listener, to tell us confidential.
Do you know what? I accidentally, and it was accidentally, stole a Sudoku puzzle book, which is very off-brand, Sally. When I was flying somewhere very recently, and I'd gone to Marks and to WH Smith's, and I'd put it under my arm while I'd got some other things, and I'd gone to the counter and I'd paid for everything, and I walked out and I went, oh, shit, I've got the Sudoku puzzle book still under my armpit. And then I thought, well, what? I can't just go back and say, I've just accidentally stolen this.
Well, you could have done, Lou.
No,
I did that with Christmas cards recently from a charity shop. I picked them up and then I was looking around and then I just walked out the shop, walked over, crossed the street, and then went, oh my God, I just wandered off. So then what I did, Lou, which is what you could have done, is I walked back over the road, back into the shop, and I said to the woman, I just walked out with these. I'm ever so sorry, but I forgot because I completely forgot.
Menopause.
And she went, oh, dear, never mind. And then I paid for them, Lou.
Ah. Well,
that awkward silence there was Lou learning, just so you for the listener.
I can't imagine that many people will have taken a Sudoku puzzle book in the first place. And I can't imagine they would have missed it.
So actually you were helping, were you, Lou?
You're helping stimulate the economy.
Thank you, Jo. Yeah. Yes. In a way. Yeah.
So now,
I'm such a neurotic person. I'm very scared of stealing. My wife will do. You're definitely side of my wife on this, right? But you're also thieves. If we go to a Burger King or a Subway, because I'm doing all right and I treat her, there's the cup drink that you fill from the you fill from the machine.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to say free refills. I think you get one cup and that's the rules. But she will drink her cup and then refill it and then go back to the car with her refilled drink. Oh, it makes me I feel anxious. That is against the rules and I don't like it.
It is against the rules, but also there's something quite.
Yeah.
That's what, you know what, Joe, you go on stage. That's where you get your adrenaline. Your wife needs adrenaline. She needs that shot of risk. So that's when she's doing
it. Skydiving.
Yeah, that's like, exactly. Mine is often plastic bags. Plastic bags is mine quite often.
You take plastic bags.
Stealing them, not putting them, through the self scanner. Look at Joe.
Really nice Marks and Spencer's bag.
I'm complicit in it.
You're complicit, are you?
You're coming down with us.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God.
It's your duty to report us.
Yeah. It's like a version of Caught on Dashcam, isn't it? But this is like Caught on whatever this is. Yeah.
And then put out to the masses as well. Because people will be listening. It's everybody's job to report me and Luna.
Yeah, they steal 10p
bags. I'm not going to tell anybody.
And Sudoku.
Yeah, or Captain Navy Rum.
Yeah.
And she didn't. And they've got to work out what airport you were at, Lou, with the Sudoku puzzle.
And other people's boyfriends.
And WH Smith.
Yeah. And,
I do think, even though all stealing makes me anxious because I'm scared of getting in trouble, but there is a clear moral difference between if you're stealing from a pub, I think from a Wetherspoons, you can take what you want with no, because that guy's such a shitbag. You can take whatever you want, and you're doing it for the people. But a little independent pub, I think, is different.
So like a really nice Belgian beer pub that's down the road from me, I should go and return all the Belgian glasses that I've stolen over the years.
I'm not saying what you should do. I'm just saying there's an ethical difference between those two.
But they're really nice glasses. They're really nice glasses. Yeah, and Sally is complicit because you've drunk out of those glasses, Sally. So you're.
But I didn't know they were stolen.
That
Your
doesn't
Honor.
Matter.
Ignorance is not, ignorance doesn't absolve you of the crime.
I know now they were stolen. I didn't know then.
Oh dear. This is why we'll never do before we're put in prison. Yeah. I was going to say
this is, we should ask.
This is why we'll never do jury service because they'll know. People will know.
We'll be pissed. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. We'll probably steal everything from the. Oh, I like that Bible. I'll have that. Yeah, shove that in your bag. Your Honour.
Oh, look, she's in the loo. Some other woman on the jury service will be putting her lipstick on. You'll have that, won't you, Lou? We've heard.
Yeah. I've never got a coleslaw from one, though. Anyway, there you go. Sorry.
Oh, well, well done then. Well done.
Thanks.
Did you say coleslaw?
Yeah.
Okay. Not coleslaw, coleslaw.
I've never had a coleslaw. She gets a little bit of cabbage and mayonnaise on her lips sometimes. Right.
Sticks it there. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
When she uses somebody's lipstick.
Sorry, that's why I didn't drink for so long, because I do. That's what I'm like when I'm drunk. Is I pick people. You won't let things go, will you? Yeah, all that sort of stuff where, like, I will correct people's grammar. I just become more of a fucking wanker when I'm drunk. Actually, and I will correct people's grammar. I will, like, lecture people for not knowing about stuff that I know about. All my horrible qualities really, really come out when I'm drunk. And that's why I was so scared to drink for so long. Because I'm really one of those people, like, if I talk about a band and you go, oh, I haven't heard of that band, I'll be like, you haven't heard of this band? What, you fucking idiot? That all comes out when I'm drunk. I'm the worst fucking person.
We need to get Joe drunk.
I did drink for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, way less fun, let's all go and fucking dance in that fountain. I'm like, let me talk to you about 90s hip hop and you've got to listen to me.
Great.
And if we look away, if we break eye contact with you for a moment.
That does not deter me. If anything, that encourages me.
Oh, that does. If there's theft going on, if I spot, like, Lou's behind you stealing.
Climbing behind the bar, yeah.
Yeah, and then I just look at that. You won't like that. You'll be like, why are you looking away? I haven't quite finished my monologue.
My lecture.
About 90s hip hop. And are you one of the people that has to get to the end of your sentence? This must be quite hard for you even with three of us talking, because you are like, because the conversation is like table tennis in a way, it's ping pong, but you're thinking, when will they shut up so that I can continue?
I can say my thing. It's not what I'm thinking because I'm drinking tea, but if I'd had a few drinks with me, then my monologue would come out. Yeah.
Oh, I see. It's not just heightened. It's just when you're drunk. Oh,
there's a little bit of that all the time of my sort of like wanting to tell people the stuff that I like, I'm interested in is the best and it's interesting. Though, that's why I like it. So that's why I want to share it.
That's quite endearing as well, though, isn't it? But
grammar-wise, lately, I'll tell you what's been annoying me. I'm not an expert on grammar. But
see, now again, I would correct you and say that the coleslaw thing wasn't grammar. It was, it's just the wrong word.
Oh, well, that's because I'm an idiot, you see.
But sorry, carry on.
But the like when somebody says they swap the word instead of saying, for example, something, and they say something, that really gets on my nerves when they swap the thing and the think. My gentleman caller does that quote. No, I don't think you do, because the alumni that you grew up with and was educated with, that you see, I don't think you're Oxford, you see, aren't you, darling? Yes.
Maggie, yes. Can't remember her name. I really would like Joe to be, I think it would be really good for the listener if Joe was a little bit drunk and was butting in and correcting us. I think it would make, do you know what I mean? I think it would be really fun. But so we'll do another one with you where you're a bit drunk.
Okay, we'll do a live one. I get hammered at the end of it. I've got to drive this afternoon, so I can't be drunk. But yeah.
No, that's fine. We're not, fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not encouraging that. No. No.
But I think that's the thing, people, when I say I'm a bad drunk, like people think of like bad drunk, oh, he's going to be violent or like whatever. I'm not that kind of bad drunk, but I'm in a way a worse bad drunk because I'm just
You're a picky
really
drunk.
Rude.
You're sort of like Joseph. Yeah. And a bit rude, a bit.
There's a little part of me that I suppress that thinks that I am like the cleverest person in the world and that I'm better than everyone. And I, in order to like function in society, I suppress that down because that's a really unlikable quality to have, to be rude to people and correct people's grammar and stuff like that. But that's the problem, is just, it only takes one glass of wine and that part of me really comes out, and it's deeply unpleasant. It really is.
And how does your wife deal with this part of you then?
I don't drink so much. She always seems to say that I'm not as bad a drunk as I think I am. I think I've had real, like, remembering things I've said the previous day. Thing, like, where you go, oh god, I said that thing, and you know, was really rude to that person. I think I also had the thing which I think a lot of people have, well, I think I'm the funniest person in the world when I'm drunk, and I'm not. I'm much less funny.
I tell you what, and give yourself about 10-20 years and you won't give a shit. You'll be like, oh, I said all that to that person and they hate me, but don't care anymore, because I've only got 20 years left on the planet.
But you know, it's a journey. That was why I didn't drink in my 20s, because I was so worried about upsetting people. And I'm just, somebody I sort of admire when you get, like, sort of properly, like, elderly people that just don't give a fuck what they say. And part of me admires that. I think that's beautiful.
You'll be there one day, Joe. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Just got
me and Sally are there, aren't we? We're there.
I do keep away from events where I think, that won't be good. You won't be good there, Sally. You'll say all the wrong things, and you're better off just going to the pub with your mates than going with those people who you're trying to get a commission from or whatever. Go home now.
That rare self-awareness, isn't it, Sal?
Yeah, you'll thank yourself. Go to the pub if you want, but a different pub. That's what I say to myself. Don't go with them.
Yeah.
Have you got any other drunk stories? Because we could do spit or swallow now, couldn't we, Lou?
Oh, yeah.
And then
let's,
we could
do
have
that.
More drunks. So give Joe a moment to think what he's allowed to tell. While we do us, will we? Who get Lou's going first? I can tell.
Can
she's,
I just say
she's sniffing the drink? Ooh, yes, you can.
I can't feel my legs, so I put quite a lot of Jägermeister in this, and.
If the listener has just joined us, it's because Lou's drinking. It's not because she's had a terrible accident.
No. Well, potentially both of those things
in
a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't speak now. Sorry.
She can't feel her legs.
I can't feel my legs. And this is weirdly delicious.
Give us a little rundown of the flavours, Lou.
So it's sort of cherry-ish. Mm-hmm. But with a little bit of aniseedy cherry. It's like a Bakewell tart. That's what it tastes like.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That makes you have no feelings in your legs. That's a great Bakewell tart.
Do you remember I had Bakewell tart gin with you in Staffordshire?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah, delicious. That's definitely a swallow. What an interesting story. Yeah, definitely a swallow from me.
Sally has the real professor. I'm interested to know what you think of the professor.
Of course I do with my alumni. I've got the professor. Ooh. Lou went to a terrible school, so she just got the doctor.
Can you see the light shining on me there? That's like my godlike light coming in here. That's what I'm giving off right now, Sally.
I like that.
Yes,
that's a swallow from me. Joe, do you have anything you want to promote for the listener?
I'm on. I don't know when this will go out, but I'm on tour in March.
Ooh, so what's the show
actually,
called?
This will probably go out just before March. So yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Come see me on tour around the UK. It's called King of the Autistics, I do a podcast myself called Neurodivergent Moments with Abigail Shimon.
Oh, great. Oh, brilliant.
That's fun. We've had Abigail on here. Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
That's funny that you've called it King. After this whole podcast and you saying, I think, you know, you're correcting grammar and I think I'm the funniest and the best. And then you've actually called your show King, the best autistic as well. You're the king. You've got Professor Pepe.
There's an irony to the title, but it does come from my arrogance a bit. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's really funny. Thank you so much, Joe.
Yes.
You've been an absolute treasure.
Yes,
thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And see you very soon. Bye-bye.
I'll see you guys soon. Bye.
You can hear the rest of this episode by signing up to our Patreon page at patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Carousel Studios.
And if you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or if you've got any recommendations of your own, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. or email us at info@spittleswallowpodcast.com.
And if you have enjoyed the podcast, and why wouldn't you, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people to find.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us. But most of all, thanks to you for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are @LouAndSally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spittleswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spittleswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!